is from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And beginning at verse number 14. Mark 6, 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and the chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy and love to us. Oh, how we praise you and thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we read about these people that we find in the scriptures, John the Baptist this morning, we think of his faithful life, and we just thank you and praise you for the grace of God that kept him going all that time, even in prison and even unto death. And we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy that gives us that power to keep going. And we pray that you'll help us all to look to you and find the strength that we need to live righteously in this present world, a world many times of darkness and sin and ungodliness. And we pray to your Heavenly Father that you'll just give us wisdom and understanding and knowing how we should conduct ourselves in this country and in this world. We do pray for our country today, our Father. We ask you to help us. We know there's so much violence going on and all these things that are happening day after day. And we just pray that somehow righteousness would prevail. We pray to your Heavenly Father, too, for the upcoming election. And for those that would be in authority in this nation. We just pray, Lord, that there may be those who would take into consideration your holy word and your will and your purpose. We just pray to your Father that you would save us from evil, from those who would turn us aside and would destroy that which has been built up. And we pray, Lord, that your holy will might be done in all of our lives. Lord, guide us and direct us throughout this service today and help us that we might truly get the message that you have for us and that we might be encouraged. We do pray, our Father, for all of our people. We thank you for each one and for those who are here with us today, those who are not. We ask you to undertake for them and watch over them and keep them, for any that may be ill, to touch and strengthen them, restore them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, especially for Jane Wagner, that you'll undertake for her. She might be able to secure this apartment and be able to live in peace and be comfortable. Yes, we pray your blessings upon her. May your will be done. Guide and help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus intensified his ministry throughout Galilee, people began to wonder just who he was. You remember the disciples had said this before when he calmed the sea. What manner of man is this? Who is this person? Who is he? And now the people that he was speaking to in various places had the same idea. Well, who is he? Who could he possibly be? Some of them thought of him as a prophet. Says here, perhaps Elijah. Elijah was supposed to come, according to Malachi, before that great and terrible day of the Lord would come. Elijah was to come and be there and to turn the heart of his fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, from Malachi chapter 4. And others thought, well, maybe he's one of the prophets, you know. It seems that they seemed to think it was someone from the past that had come to the present. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Rather than thinking of him as a present-day person, they thought, well, he must be one of them. Or at least that kind of person, right? As one of the old-time prophets. Because, you know, this just wasn't something normal. This man coming along, opening the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind and raising the dead. I mean, come on. You don't see that every day, do you? And here, they were beginning to wonder, well, who in the world is this person? And in celebrating the Passover Seder, you know, today, even some of the observant Jewish people continue to look for Elijah to come, right? They have a chair set for him at the Seder. And so there's always this thing about someone coming. And we know, of course, we're looking for Jesus to come, aren't we? Right? He came once. He's coming again. And we're looking forward to that. Anyway, word about Jesus finally reached King Herod. The ruler of Galilee. He said, his opinion was, it must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. Well, why do you think he thought that? Well, it says it here, doesn't it? He said, he's the one that I beheaded. I think this was his conscience speaking to him. Because as we read the passage before, you can see that this was not Herod's idea. This was not his intention to kill John. It came from someone else, didn't it? And so his conscience is killing him, so to speak. He has a very guilty conscience speaking to him because he had killed this fearless servant of God, John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? a man chosen of God. It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Jesus was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John was the witness that came. You remember, like Jesus, not exactly like Jesus, but similarly, he had a miraculous birth, didn't he? You remember Zacharias the priest and Elizabeth were old, well past the years of childbearing, and the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple and says, you know, your wife's going to have a son. And of course, Zacharias had a little trouble believing that. He says, okay, then you won't be speaking until after the child is born, right? Remember the story? And sure enough, Elizabeth went through her period and had this son, and they were going to name him Zacharias after his father. It's, you know, that's the way they did it back in those days, junior. I'm a junior, right? Anyway, they said, no, his name's going to be John, because this is what the angel had said. His name will be John, which has to do with God's grace being given to us, right? God is gracious and loving. And they wanted that name put on him. This is the name that the angel Gabriel had told them to give to him. And John the Baptist was a man of very simple taste, you remember? After he got up to a certain age, he went out and lived alone in the desert area, eating what? Locusts and wild honey. Well, that's quite a diet, isn't it? How long would we survive on that? What do you think? Not very long, right? Anyway, he did, and he was like a kind of like an unusual person. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God chose him to be the forerunner for his son, to go before him and announce it. And he said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make the paths of the Lord straight, as said the prophet Isaiah. This was John's testimony. And he went forth and preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was announcing the coming of the King, the Lord Jesus. And he says, you need to repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Put your faith and trust in him. This is the message. And those who received it were baptized. And he baptized all kinds of people, right? And one day Jesus came to him and said, I need to be baptized. He said, well, why would you be baptized? You know, you should be baptizing me instead, right? John was a very humble man, and he knew that Jesus was someone very special. And anyway, he said, this is what fulfills all righteousness. And so he baptized him. He fulfilled what God had given him to do. And John went on serving the Lord, and Jesus came preaching the same message, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think that's a message that we need to think about even today. Now, the kingdom, Jesus is the King. He's coming back again, eventually, to rule and reign, right? We need to be preparing ourselves. And if we are in any way rebelling against his will, we need to repent. This is something Jesus said to the churches over in Revelation, you remember. If you read those messages to the seven churches, think over and over and over again, Jesus says, repent, repent, repent. This is something that we need to do, that we might truly be in the will of God and walk in the way that He would have us to go. So He came preaching the message and baptizing the people and proclaiming Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, it says He saw the dove come down upon Him and He knew that He was the Messiah. That's when He recognized who He really was and went forth to proclaim that message. A faithful servant of God, willing to do whatever God would have him to do, to deny himself and to stand for what was right and good. And that's one thing that got him in trouble. Jesus had something to say about John. If you want to look in Matthew 11 and beginning at verse 7, quite the testimony, this man. It says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Or what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Well, that's quite a testimony, huh? Notice this next phrase, though. See what you think this means. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. That's speaking about us, I believe, isn't it? Are we in the kingdom of heaven? In a certain sense, at least. Someday the kingdom will come in all of its fullness. But here Jesus is saying, John is the greatest up until this time. Think of that. Wow. That's quite a statement. Because this was a man who devoted himself fully and completely to the Lord, serving Him, and not seeking anything for himself, but following the will of God. And it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, some of them were thinking Jesus might be Elijah. He said, no. If you want to accept it, John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he came to reveal the Son of God to the people. And if you want to receive that, if you want to believe that, then he could represent Elijah. Anyway, we find what a commendation this is. He says, "Among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And so here we see this man who served the Lord so faithfully, his ministry, preaching and baptizing and teaching. But you know, it was only a short period of time. Some of them have said it might have even been less than a year that he did this. We don't know. But here's a man, and think of this. Jesus began his ministry when he was about 30 years old, right? How old was John the Baptist? 6 months older, right? So here's a man in his prime, right? 30 years old and preaching, and then shortly thereafter taken and put into prison and killed. My goodness, it seems like such a waste, doesn't it? A perfectly healthy outdoors person that ends up dead when he's 30 years old, 31, 32. The same with Jesus. He was approximately the same age when he went to the cross and died for our sins. Right? And we think so often how terrible it is when a young person or a person of this age would pass away, would die. But yet, in the plan of God, sometimes this is the way it is. And he knows what is best. It's not easy for us to accept many times, but God knows what he's doing. And here we find this faithful servant of God. You would think he could have served the Lord for many, many more years and done so much good. And yet, he was taken away so quickly. We find here the ministry and the service that he did. But here, then, the death of John the Baptist. John was a very courageous man. He didn't hesitate to denounce sin wherever he saw it. And here we find this man, Herod Antipas. He was the son of Herod the Great and considered himself a very important person. He called himself a king. He wasn't really a king. It says that his father divided up the kingdom into, I think, four parts. He was a tetrarch, they call it. But tetrarch doesn't sound as good as king, so he called himself king. It sounds a whole lot better. King Herod had married his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Herod and Herodias. How do you like that for a pair? At any rate, she was quite the woman. She was his sister-in-law, his niece, and then his wife. So we have here, if you want to put it that way, an incestuous type of marriage and the adultery, as John said. It's interesting that the Bible doesn't say that she's his wife. She says he's your brother Philip's wife. You see? As far as God's concerned, she's still Philip's wife, and she's committing adultery with Herod. Right? And, of course, John did not hesitate to denounce this. And our story is that Herod is thinking back to this, right? All that happened is going through his mind, and he's wondering, is this John the Baptist that's come back to haunt me? When he saw Jesus and all that he was doing, maybe this is John the Baptist that's come back. So his conscience is bothering him. John had pronounced the verdict against him. God said, you are sinning. You are not living right. And it says Herod had him put into prison. Notice what it says in verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. You see? Who's leading in this? Yeah? I think Herodias seems to be the one wearing the pants in the family. What do you think? Huh? She seems to be the leader no matter what is happening, and it always seems to be something evil that's happening. So he places John in prison, and he goes and he listens to him. He goes and has conversations with John. He's enjoying talking with him and all this, he says. Even though John denounces his sin, they get along pretty well together. But then it's Herodias. Notice it says that verse 19. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. Or she had a grudge against him, some of the translations say. She held it against him and would have killed him, but she could not, you see. She didn't have the authority. So she had to work it around so that somehow this would happen, even though she could not do it herself. She did not have the authority. It says, for John feared, for Herod feared John. Isn't that interesting? John is the prisoner, but Herod is afraid of him. How about that? It says, because knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. So Herod, somehow in his mind, had some kind of concept of God and his righteousness, even though he was not a believer of any kind. He certainly had some of this background, and it bothered him to think about John. He wanted to treat him as well as he could. And he observed him, and he heard him, and they did many things, and he heard him gladly. Everything was going along quite well. He's just keeping John there in prison. He couldn't go do any harm. But then Herod had his birthday. It says here, a convenient day was come. A convenient day for who? I think it's Herodias, isn't it? She's the one that has the convenient day. It's Herod's birthday. And here he has this big, big party. He has a supper for all of his lords, the high captains, and the chief estates of Galilee, all of those who are important people. He gathers them together for a big banquet, okay, celebrating his birthday. And then Herodias' daughter comes in and dances for them. Now, this is probably a teenage girl, beautiful young lady, right? And if you know anything about the kind of dances that they have at these places, you know, this was an all-men's affair, you know. And these men were all there drinking their wine and whatever else, and inebriated and all this. And then she comes out and does a sensual dance before them. And, oh, yeah, we like this, you know, that kind of thing. And so he says to her after, oh, this was so nice. I love that. I want to give you a present. I want to give you a gift. Ask me whatever you want. You know? I'll give you even half of my kingdom. Wow. Pretty generous fellow, huh? Half up to half of the kingdom. She could have asked for anything. So she goes back to Mama and she says, hey, what should I ask for? He's offering me all these wonderful things, you know. The head of John the Baptist. Where in the world did that come from? Well, this was her plan all along, right? Herodias is the one that was leading in all of these things. And here we find she says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And she does. Wow. Can you imagine? How gross can you get? Huh? I mean, come on. So Herod, reluctantly, because of all the dignitaries there with him, and because he had given his word, he says, well, how can I back down now? You know, I don't want to do this, but in order to save face, he said, okay. So he sends one of his guards down to execute John the Baptist. There he is, chained, no doubt, to the wall, and they sever his head from his body. Whew. It's like, you know, you think, did you see any of those on television, those terrorists, when they had these people that they put down on their knees? And how horrible can it possibly be? And why am I going into such detail? I don't know. But at any rate, it really, you know, you see a child of God, a fervent servant of God, having his head chopped off. And dear friends, he was not the only one. You think of the apostles. The Apostle Paul. He suffered the same fate under Nero. And today in other parts of the world, there are people who are going through this same kind of persecution. You know? We need to pray. Pray for people that are in a similar situation, many places, and pray that our nation might remain free so we will not have to go through these kinds of things that are so horrible. Anyway, we find this sinful picture before us, sensualness, drunkenness, ungodliness, hatred, and where it leads, you know. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, Brother Steve read The Love of God to him. This is God's position, isn't it? The love of God is greater far than anything we could ever imagine, right? And but the man and the inspired by Satan, filled with hatred. You wonder sometimes when you see all of the violence and everything that's going on around you, how could it possibly be? Such hatred and with no regard whatsoever for the life of others. Over and over again. I know this past weekend there was 60-some shootings from two or three days in Philadelphia, right? Just mowing people down. I mean, not knowing who they are or anything else, I guess. But you see the hatred, that animosity that's in the hearts of people. And here we find then, he gave her what she asked for. They killed John the Baptist, put his head on a platter and carried it back to them. And she took it and gave it to her mother. She comes right back to her, doesn't it? What a terrible family situation there, right? Think of that. And what did it do for this young lady? We don't know what happened to her, do we? You think of Salome? Where did she end up? After going through all this, I can well imagine. But at any rate, we see the girl delivers the head to the mother. She uses that as a trophy, no doubt, thinking, oh, I've won. Yeah. History tells us, though, that right after this, the emperor banished Herod and Herodias to Gaul, where they, according to some sources, committed suicide. So it didn't do them a lot of good to go through all of this. And then we find the disciples of John the Baptist came and buried his body. I don't know where his head ever ended up. I know in Europe, a lot of places, they've got several heads, I think, of John the Baptist. But anyway, I shouldn't joke about things like that, I guess. History tells us that they did not finish well. And John's disciples came and claimed his body and buried him. A dignified ceremony, no doubt. It seems like a tragic end for him, but we know that he received the martyr's crown, didn't he? And a warm welcome into the presence of God. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So, no doubt, John ended up much better than Herod and Herodias. And Jesus said in another place, one of his parables, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." John, no doubt, received an abundant reward because of his faithfulness to the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't judge us by our length of service. John may not have been able to serve for a long period of time, but it's our attitude and faithfulness with which we do that, right? He's more concerned that we be faithful to Christ and his word, and that we faithfully perform the tasks that he's given us to do. May we determine in our hearts to be like John the Baptist, faithful unto death. Keep on keeping on. Don't allow anything to turn you aside from following after the Lord and doing his will. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. I know some of this is kind of negative, but we thank you for the faithfulness that you have for us and the faithfulness that you allow us to have toward you. So I pray that we would indeed walk in righteousness and truth and do your will. Speak to our hearts and teach us what we need to do. If there's anyone who needs to draw closer to you, anyone who needs to make a decision to follow after you, we pray that they would do that today, and that our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified. And we'll thank you for it. In his name we pray. Amen.